There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Friday. Glad you're along. Hey, y'all. I'm Sean. Phone number here is 343-0106, 343-0106. Those phones do not depend on the internet, so we've been able to keep those rolling today. So, good deal. Look forward to hearing from you at 343-0106. And, yeah, we'll talk more about what's happening in Washington on this on the marijuana side. We can get into that. It's good. I don't have an actual dog in the hunt other than liberty and consistency on that, but we'll have that debate. Go to the phones now, and first up, Damon in Mobile. Hey, Damon.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just tuned in a few minutes ago, and I heard the tail end of your interview with Robert Kennedy Jr., and I really enjoyed it, but the thing that kind of struck me is when you said that to you it seemed like diversity initiatives and things like that in this day and age seem like they're sort of fake or phony or somewhat come off that way. But I wanted to share a little story about why I don't think that is the case, and you're entitled to your opinion. But I really believe that initiatives like that really put people on notice just to be aware. It just kind of puts it on the radar. And this is a really good example. I worked for a company. I worked for a store, but I didn't work at the headquarters. So the headquarters was in New Orleans, and I won't say the name of the company, but it was a vacuum cleaner company, and it began with the letter O. Okay?
Okay, so, yeah. Gotcha.
So they were looking for hiring a person over their telesales department, you know, selling their things over the phone to people. And so in a meeting, the owner of the company, whose name matched the company, said, you know, how are you coming along with filling this position for a telemarketing manager? We really need this. And the guy that was in charge of hiring said, well, I've interviewed a bunch of people. You know, I had one really good candidate I'd like to hire, but, you know, she had all the experience and she was great, but, you know, unfortunately, I can't hire her.
Why is that?
Why? He said, well, because she's black.
What?
And he looked at him and he's like, what? Yes. True story. He said, what do you mean you can't hire her because she's black? He said, well, you know, I looked around. There's no blacks working here. I thought we couldn't hire black people. And he called a meeting and called everybody in there and sent out a mail and said, look, everybody, and loud and clear, we're equal opportunity. We're not going to discriminate against blacks. But the point is, because there weren't any blacks working there, he thought blacks weren't allowed to work there. He was probably from a part of the country where blacks weren't a normal part of the, you know, workplace, and he didn't see any, so he assumed they weren't allowed.
So this is, and this is, as Robert had said to me, he was texting me the other day. We talk about stuff all the time, but he was texting me I had a blind spot. And maybe that's the blind spot, because I want the same. Like, I wouldn't have thought that that would happen in today. Now, I believe in what had been done in the past because it was needed. But in 2020, I guess I still have a blind spot because I'm a meritocracy kind of person, you know? I want the best. I don't care what the person looks like. That's why I want to put everybody in burkas, you know, when we go to elections, because I just want the best person there.
This was like 2006 or something, so it wasn't like a long time ago.
But what I like the story, though, is so big guy, Big O, we'll call him, the person that built the successful company, said the heck with that, right? He said, we're not like
that. He was floored. He was like, what do you mean you can't hire somebody because they're black? He said, well, there aren't any here. So,
but so he had, but his reaction to that.
His reaction to that was calling everybody in a big meeting and sending out memos and making it very clear in no uncertain terms. And he was, of course, of Jewish descent. He said, we're equal opportunity. You can't hire black people. You have my permission. And from that point on, they slowly started hiring blacks. at this company.
But I guess, and this is one of these things I can only, you know, I've often said, I can only speak for me. I'm not a representative of anybody but me. And that's probably why I get floored by these things, because I would just want the best person to make my company money. I don't care, you know, and that's where I am with this NASDAQ thing. I would think it would behoove those companies to have a diverse board. I get bothered when it becomes, now it's not government, but a private, going to dictate to be listed by NASDAQ, you got to check these boxes. We can go into the silly stuff where you self-identify. That stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah. I want to give one more example. And this will, everybody can identify with this one. You know MTV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Pointer Sisters, we all know, I'm so excited, Jump, on all those great songs they came out with. Well, the producer of that album went to MTV and played the video for Jump or whatever the first video was. And it was an outstanding video, and the people at MTV said, yeah, that's great. And he said, okay, so when can we get it in rotation? He said, well, it's a great video, and we like the song and everything. And they said, we can't play it. And he said, why? And the people at MTV told him, we can't play them because they're black. And he said, what? Yeah, we can't play the part. Yes, this was.
But wait a second. I don't know, you know, who said that or what. But so I'm 48. So I grew up back in the olden days, kids, when they showed real music videos on MTV. And so I watched those, and there are plenty of black folks on that. I mean, I grew up
at one time. But I mean, I think MTV debuted in 1982. And I want to say, you know, it started to really take off around 83, 84. This is before Michael Jackson Thriller. This was when it was hair band, heavy metal, you know.
It wasn't just, though, because, number one, J.J. Jackson would have kicked somebody's ass there if they would have been doing that. Number two, as a kid growing up, in the panoply of posters in my room, the center poster in my room, and if Mom's listening out there, she can get it was the Run DMC album cover. From King of Rock album cover.
I totally agree. And I'm not saying, and another thing, a lot of people, when they think of black or white or rich, they think it's out of hatred. And it's not really out of hatred. It's sometimes it's a business decision. Sometimes they think, well, this is our market. Our market is not, it's too R&B or whatever. But yeah, he was told we can't play the Pointer Sisters because, you know, that's not what we play. We play heavy metal rock, you know.
Those songs all went platinum, by the way, if I think right, just the trio you named all went platinum for the Pointer Sisters. So
yeah,
they did all right.
One of the greatest albums of all time. But I mean, I'm just saying, you know, he went on a show and shared that story. And when I heard it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. But yeah, the producer of that album said, yeah, MTV wouldn't play it because, you know, they're black.
Imagine that that MTV back then would have been like that. Well, Damon, I appreciate your call, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, be good. All right, coming right back, we'll grab your phone calls at 343-0106. News is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 118 FM Talk 106.5 online at fmtalk1065.com. I mean, we can't get to it, but you can get to the website at fmtalk1065.com or facebook.com/fmtalk1065. You can also go see my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And pretty much, I mean, I have completed my whole Christmas shopping list before inside the walls of Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Angelo, lay it on them. I mean, variety is the reason I can do that.
Well, it really is. And if you have a Christmas list, especially if you have one of those hard-to-buy-for Christmas lists, bring it by the shop. Let us take a look at it. We'll walk through it with you. I'd almost bet that I could help fill any Christmas list that's out there because whether you're looking at the cool open-L pocket knives, you're looking at the history behind some of these coins, whether they're gold or silver, whether it's, you know, Confederate paper money, you look at the absolutely stunning pieces of jewelry from something you're going to get, you know, for your niece to that, oh, wow, present you want to get to somebody really special. We've pretty much got everything covered. And something really cool last week, Sean, lady came in here, sold some scrap jewelry she didn't want, did all of her Christmas shopping, walked out of here, Christmas shopping list done. $300 cash in her pocket, done. Can't do that anywhere else.
No, that's strong. That's a shopping experience that a lot of people get. All right, let's talk about how to find y'all in the real world and online.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can check out some of these new items as they're coming in on Facebook or on Instagram. Or, of course, listen to us right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Tuesday night from 6 to 7.
Great stuff, Angelo. We'll check in soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I have done this also as I've MacGyvered my way through today. I've gotten, dare I say this, because it's going to be hard because I'm looking on the screen of my Android phone here, and I have left my reading glasses. How's that for cutting a sexy look, huh? I've left my reading glasses back in my office. So I am looking at some of these texts on the phone, but on my personal phone, because I don't have internet in the studio, but it takes me a little bit of time. So I'd love to talk to you at 343-0106. I know somebody was holding one to talk about the sailboat. I don't know what. I mean, I saw that. You're talking about the sailboat, I'm sure, that's south of the causeway there that's been sitting there. I was looking at it the other day when I was doing the show from the USS Alabama. I got no backstory on that. No, there's some pretty good fishing pretty near where that sailboat is, but I have no backstory. All right, let me see if I can read this. Increase font size. There we go. So a lot of people, and that's just, a lot of people are chiming in about what Robert had to say earlier. And here we go. I like this. Somebody, unnamed texter, has given themselves the name the king of all unnamed texters. That's a name. I like that. Okay. My take on the back and forth on NASDAQ. One side says you need someone to tell you what to do. The other side says it should be left to the individual to make the judgment call. Yeah. Well, I mean, so which side of that is right? Haywood said, so tired of the race card. Jason saying here, I'm late to the show, but is Mr. Kennedy ready to acknowledge that vote fraud exists and was executed by Democrats now that we have clear evidence? You know, we did not get a chance to that because we got off on the NASDAQ thing, but I have a feeling that next week and the weeks after, we'll have time to talk about that. On the vaccine thing, how can you trust the vaccine manufacturers when they're not held liable for injuries or death, which both happen more frequently than reported? The same manufacturers who are held liable for opioids but not for the vaccine. Is Purdue producing? Yet Pfizer and Moderna. Did Purdue do one? Did they? Maybe they did. I don't know. The most I hear about is Pfizer and Moderna on it. I have no idea what the liability protections are. I know there are some in there. I mean, they said that. So, you know, to enable them to do this Operation Warp Speed, right, that they have these protections. I don't know how far that goes. MTV also did not let white guys in cowboy boots and hats sing country songs on MTV either. That's right. That is right. But the idea that MTV I'm 48, so I was there. I mean, I remember the early days of MTV, but then again, I wasn't looking. I was looking for songs I liked. I didn't look for, you know, somebody's skin color. I just was like, oh, that's a good song, or that song stinks. As Texter says, sounds like Robert Kennedy has racial blinders on. He is one of the people who can't see past people's skin color. A for-profit business should hire the most qualified person, or they're setting themselves up for failure. Where does this point of view stop? Should we not hire someone because he didn't grow up dirt poor? How many ways can we divide up the type of people we can potentially associate with? See, and I think in a way that texter, I'm with you because I want outcome, and I believe that diversity of thought is good in companies. You look in big, I mean, that's how you kind of get people to see things outside the box. How many times you hear that cliche? Oh, we do it outside the box. Well, it's seeing it a different way than everybody else. And that comes from diversity of thought. And if diversity of thought comes with diversity of sex organs or skin color or proclivity in the bedroom, how is that a subject for the boardroom? How is, by the way, on this NASDAQ thing, go back for a second. How is the LGBTQ thing subject? Why is that? I mean, are we supposed to have the people that are on the board that are gay on these boards identify as gay so they can check a box or something? Why does that matter if they're the best for the job? You could say the other items, even though NASDAQ said if you self-identify as a minority, shut up. Either you are or you aren't, okay? But on this sexual orientation thing, they're going to make the people identify? Why? How is that? The one thing that can't be, you know, the other things you say, well, you could see if somebody's black, you see if somebody is a woman or a man, although I don't know in this day and time. But are people supposed to raise their hand or something and say they're gay? I don't get that. All right, text here says, and if I can, oh, it's Mark. Okay. Mark says, affirmative action also causes reverse discrimination. When I graduated high school in 1981, I applied for an apprenticeship program to be a union pipe fitter. Well, because of affirmative action, it was 5 years before they called me to join the apprenticeship. Needless to say, by then, I was already working somewhere else. Anderson, this is another subject here, and I want to talk about this, too. Talk about this candidate. He said, how are they able to pass a cannabis bill and not even get close to a stimulus bill? Anderson, you and I can hang out. Doug, a person should be hired on their merit. Yes, Doug, I completely agree. That's why I want burkas for election. I want to have burkas. I want people just to be judged on merit, not on looks. That's me. Hey, listen, Don, enough of it. Okay, enough. Don's already back on. I'm trying, Don. I sent emails to the city. I'm waiting to hear back. Don's saying, have I gotten the answer on the boat launch at the new Brooklyn property? I have not. Scotty, yes. Scotty says, can we identify as asexual if the old lady cuts us off? That is, does that count as minority? Yes and no. So the first thing is, can you identify as asexual if the old lady cuts you off? Yes. Does it count as a minority? Scotty, my friend, I think there's probably a lot of people in your boat, right? So all right, they're coming in. I have to get these during the break because I go get my glasses. Or you could do this thing and call 343-0106. If y'all are just joining us, so the main internet feed to the opulent FM Talk 106.5 five-story building here, broadcast facility, is not working. So I've MacGyvered up a system here, but it only gets some internet on my phone. So I'm reading your text as they come in, but it's small font. And I've moved on. I'm at a point in my life where I default to 20-point font. Like, if I can, you're like, could you put that in 20-point, at least 18, if not 20-point font, please? Thank you. All right. Let's go to, we'll grab some calls here before we go to the news. Clint is somewhere. It doesn't say where. Clint is wherever Clint is and wants to talk about diversity. Hey, Clint.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good. Got a lot out of you and Robert's conversation there. As far as board diversity, I'll give you a little example. I don't know if it'll mean anything to you, but last year I joined a statewide board, and I'm pretty sure before that it was comprised of all white males and females. But last year they also brought an African-American woman on who joined us. And during our board retreat and strategic planning session, she added a diversity of thought. And you're big on that. I've heard you say it a couple of times, that you absolutely could not have gotten with just white people.
Okay. I'm interested.
You just couldn't have gotten it. And so I think it was a good thing. I think if you quit focusing on this, you know, identifying as whatever, like that's really gotten you hung up. And I personally don't like that either. But I think if you focus more on just the diversity part, that, you know, you can step back and say, yes, that does add value.
I think it does. And like I said to Robert, I think the net outcome, I want to get to the same place because I think it's good for business. I mean, diversity of thought is something that I've always been very interested in. I guess the constraints of having the dictate there, Clint, is what bothers me.
I know that seems to hang you up, you know, on a lot, but, you know, we've got constraints all throughout life. There are constraints everywhere. But as far as, you know, moving the needle to push diversity, especially, you know, in terms of race and ethnicity. You can't get that diversity of thought with only white people. You just can't do it.
Okay. I don't know. You ought to come to one of our family reunions. Clint, thanks for the call. Coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, segment show brought to you by Omaha Steaks. So we love them at the Sullivan House and many other houses where we've given the gift of Omaha Steaks. Hey, if this 2020 holiday season seems like it's been a long time coming, it's because it has, y'all. And you can send the perfect gift this year. Send yourself something special and bring other families together for a delicious Omaha Steaks holiday feast. If you'll go right now to omahasteaks.com and put my first name, Sean, S-E-A-N, in the search box, it'll pop up. It'll show you the deluxe griller's assortment, including perfectly aged top sirloin steaks, incredible meats, amazing sides, and their infamous Omaha Steaks desserts. And right now, you can get that mouthwatering package plus four of their burgers for free, plus a digital meat thermometer for free, an exclusive price for all y'all when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Sean into the search bar. Get the extra burgers plus the digital meat thermometer. And remember, Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's a guaranteed fantastic gift and a safe way to enjoy the gifts of the season. Don't forget, when you order the Deluxe Griller's Assortment, you'll also get the four free Omaha Steak burgers and the digital meat thermometer when you enter my code Sean, S-E-A-N, at omahasteaks.com. A deal you won't find anywhere else. So do this. Do what I've been doing for years, whether you're getting family gifts, gifts for yourself, even client gifts for your business. Visit omahasteaks.com. Type Sean, S-E-A-N, in the search bar to shop the best gourmet gifts of the season. All right, you know what? I did, Leanne, that whole time, and I did not get up and get my glasses. Oh, well. We'll just increase the font here on the phone. A lot of text here, although I would love to hear from y'all on the phone. Let's see. Okay, a couple of people have asked this question. I don't know. What happens if we have affirmative action to help diversity in the NBA or NFL? I've heard that one a whole bunch. You know, people have said that. Once again, maybe it's better to ask that because we're talking about boards, okay? Remember, we're talking about the diversity on the boards. And remember where I sit on this, because it's funny how at the end of the conversation that people were like asking me, like I believe I was the guy that ripped hind end on NASDAQ this week and continued to do it for that. But let's say on this, I don't know. I'm going to go from zero here, try to build a discussion. We'll see if it sticks or not. Because I believe in diversity of thought. What about that? What if the NFL or the NBA did a diversity of thought, not on the field, because let's make this analogous. It's not the workers, but it's the board of directors, so the front office people, or maybe the coaching staff. Would it be good to bring coaches in from somewhere else that saw things maybe differently and could bring, I don't know, some kind of offense or some kind of defensive mind into the mix that makes you better than the opponent? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the problem with me looking at these, and when you say, I get what you're saying, like the, why you're talking about there's more black folks than white folks in the NFL and the NBA. Sure it is. And people would argue that that's right. That's a meritocracy. Those are the best players. I still believe in work, in general jobs. Right, there's more people that can fit in those positions, but the meritocracy can find people who look all different kind of ways to go to those jobs. So, I do get what you're saying. I've heard that discussion. People have thrown that at me for forever. So I'm not saying there's not something to be discussed there, but I don't know that it's apples to apples to this situation. At the same time, I'm the guy that's teed off with NASDAQ putting what I think are constraints in there. But like when Damon called earlier, it was a culture it was a perceived culture at that vacuum cleaner company that the boss didn't want any black people hired, when in fact the boss had no concept of that and turned it around. If you're a good boss, if you're a successful business person, you're the best person that's going to give you the best return on investment. I mean, that's, you know, the I pay them this, they create this much revenue for the company. I mean, that's the same thing. Donna Summer was on MTV nonstop, it seemed, in the summer of 1983. Remember that? That should be a... there's a conversation. What used to be on MTV when, if you're like me and you're in your 40s, I'm in my late 40s, maybe you're in your early 50s, what we were watching back then? Jace says, all right, but how does varying levels of melanin affect the thought process? Great. See, there, Jace, I always dig messages from Jace. I'm with you. That's why I say diversity of thought. And then if it comes packaged differently, I don't care. That's why I think these companies, if they seek out diversity of thought, and that may be coming from different communities, right? Maybe that's how it goes to the melanin count. But, Jace, it's not all about melanin count, because you look at what NASDAQ said. It was, what, you had to show diversity in having female or people that identify as female, which I love. I mean, NASDAQ just peed in the punch when they did that. They said, oh, we're going to have the company show two diverse members of the board, people that self-identify, and then they went down the list. What a bunch of poppycock silliness that whole thing is. But I see what you're saying, Jace. I don't think that the melanin in somebody's skin makes them think that way. But if you say the net effect of getting diversity of thought, that people look differently come into the mix, that's fine. But like I said to Clint earlier, I could also argue you get a whole bunch of diversity of thought from people that come from different communities and also from a Sullivan family reunion. There's pretty much every thought process that, or lack thereof of a thought process available is there at the family reunion. Let's see. Okay, what I don't have time to do, especially on this little phone here, is go back and watch a video before I comment on it. So I won't comment on it. I'll wait to see. Not somebody else with the stinking boat launch. Listen, okay? Yeah, I am doing everything I can to find out if there's any plans. Remember, we talked to Rob Hulbert yesterday. He said it was all very new. There was nothing concrete. I think Dale Leash said the same thing. You know, we were talking about the fish and pier idea down there. What is the stupid cable news thing they say? I'm efforting to find an answer for y'all on whether we're going to have a boat launch there or not. Right now, I don't know. I don't know if there's a... I'm pushing for the boat launch at the forthcoming public access area there at Brookley. I'd say they will have to do some dredging, though, because other than like Brookley Hole, it is shallow for a long way in there. So, have to be a large dredge channel probably as part of that mix. All right, run to the break and coming back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. Oh, my favorite MTV video. I guess the Buggles was the first year, right? That was good. We should do a whole show about what MTV used to be like. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back to Midday Mobile and joined by another part of the team, another part of the family at Taylor Martino, and somebody that I haven't gotten a chance to meet till today, Amanda Summerlin, joining me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean, for having me.
Hey, it's good to get you in here. I've, you know, gotten to know a lot of your coworkers, pretty much all the coworkers at Taylor Martino and the family there, so it's good to meet you as well. We're talking before we went on the air, and you mentioned mass torts being your specialty. I'm going to just plead ignorance on this. What is a mass tort?
Sure, Sean. So a mass tort is different than a class action.
Okay.
So with a mass tort, each individual claim will be filed and evaluated, but we share the same judge and the same venue because we've got common issues. So we all want the benefits of knowing the corporate history of the defendants that we're suing. And also we want to have the science and share that and keep our issues, although they are specific as far as the individual – But we want to have the benefit of keeping the litigation issues that are similar in the same place. So we have a mass tort action going on here, several of them with our clients in Mobile.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. Your work as an attorney, and kind of educate us. We'll go back for a second because you said mass torts are different than class action. So class action is a term that we hear. People just use that term. Oh, it's a class action suit. The difference you said, what does class action do? And then you kind of laid out what mass tort is. So educate us.
Sure. So with a class action, it's really where a group of people all go in together on one claim at the same time. And so when you have resolution with class action, you divide it out, whatever the settlement is.
We've all gotten that check for $5.17 from something in our car or something like that.
That's right. That's right, Sean. That's exactly what it is. And so this is different because everybody's exposure is different. Everybody's experience is different. And also, of course, medical history. So we have a benefit there in that we evaluate each claim, but we also can share some of the knowledge of the science and corporation.
Thank you for the education so we can the difference between them. So in this mass tort, and this is one that maybe people have heard discussed before, this is, if I get it right, hernia mesh?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. First of all, what's hernia mesh?
So hernia mesh is, it is actually a piece of mesh manufactured that is used to put over a hernia in an effort to repair that hernia.
Like a patch of sorts or something.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It can be square. It can be oval. Some of them look like a badminton, like a little net piece. So there's different manufacturers involved in mesh. So
there's not just they're the hernia mesh company. There's more than one that makes it.
That's right. There's about four main manufacturers. There's two or three others there that we also look at, and each of those big companies also makes their own specific products. So it's a pretty detailed process when you look at the different meshes out there on the market.
So it sounds like this is, I want to talk about numbers, affects a lot of people. You've got four companies making this stuff that's inside a lot of people. What's gone wrong with this? What is the problem here with this mesh?
So for mesh, there are some of them that are made of polypropylene. And for that, it's not something that is always accepted in the human body. But some of the meshes will migrate. They'll deteriorate. They'll attach to organs. They'll also cause obstructions, chronic pain. But the problem with the mesh is that some of these materials that are part of it are not to be used in the human body.
The polypropylene, like Long John's stuff,
Yeah.
So that's, they make the patch out of that. Now I'm picturing this. So it goes inside the person, they sew them up, and then these things happen that you're talking about.
That's right. That's right.
And so how long have they been doing this? Is this a recent occurrence? Has this been going on for a long time that they use these patches?
Yeah, it's actually been going on for a number of years. I know at least back to the 80s. Some back then, were made of different materials than now. But there's just certain ones really that we focused on that we've developed through working with our experts and research that we've linked up to these issues that people have been having, and that it's a harmful product that shouldn't be used.
If you're just joining us, talking to a mass tort specialist and educator on this, what a mass tort is, Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino, about this mesh. You talked about the different things happening. You said the pain. Okay, I get that one. You said migration?
That's right.
Like moving from where it's supposed to be?
That's right. So if you were going to have a mesh placement near your umbilical area, mm-hmm. then it could actually detach from that area and migrate to another part in the body. And this is something that's a fault of the manufacturer. Another thing that we've seen is it could just disintegrate within the body. So you go to the doctor to have this patch placed, and it's there, but the mesh fails because of what it's made out of, and disintegrates within the body. So then you no longer
go.
Yeah. we don't always know the answer to that.
Wow.
Yeah, and so another thing that it can do is attach to organs in your body. So there again, that patch there that was protecting your tissue with that organ has then
moved on and found a new home.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Another thing that can happen that's one of the more common too is infection. Some people, their bodies just reject the mesh totally as a foreign object. It can cause infections, wounds that won't heal. Also, if the mesh fails, it can be a recurrence in your hernia. And so that would be another surgery to go through.
Numbers of surgeries. Give us just some ballpark stuff. How many of these surgeries are they doing? How many? You said since the 80s.
Yeah. So the products that we're looking at are more current than that.
Okay.
Really more like 2004
okay.
to current.
Okay. That's 16 years, man. That's a bunch of time. A lot of people, a lot of surgeries.
That's right. So it's around in America, there's roughly 1 million hernia surgeries a year.
Wow.
So some of these products have been recalled. Some have just been taken off the market. Others are still being used today. But there again, you can still have these symptoms and problems. Just because it hasn't been recalled doesn't mean it might not be an issue.
That's a good point. So this one you would know if you had this surgery, since 2004 to now. And if they're obviously feeling any of these issues you talked about, but even if not, it's worth contacting.
Yes, definitely. So we take a look at the records, the original surgery date, and then anything that's happened after that. So sometimes individuals will go in for what's called a revision, where they may reattach mesh that's been detached. You know, we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may put another piece of mesh over that piece, leave it in. Another surgery would be a removal where, it's decided that the mesh just, doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not functioning. Sometimes it's completely removed and physicians may use a biologic mesh, which is, a different product. But sometimes when it's removed, they'll also put in a replacement mesh, just depending on the individual.
So this, for a lot of people, different versions of this, but it's worth having you look at those records. Y'all can do that and tell us what happened.
Yes, definitely. So the first thing that I do is, get a copy of the records and see what manufacturers at issue. And so once we know what kind of mesh is there, I'm very familiar with the issues symptoms that those particular meshes present, because
right.
each of them are unique. So we evaluate the claim based on the mesh that was implanted, and then we can also go through the medical history to see what was removed or revised later on and track it from there.
All right. The time is of the essence here?
Yes. There have not been any trials yet in this hernia mesh litigation anywhere here in the country, but we are getting ready. Our first trial group is starting up middle of January of 2021. So anybody that's having some issues, take a look and see if it's a claim we can move forward on.
All right. So somebody would just call Taylor Martino and say, I have the mesh, or they ask for you specifically, Amanda, or what do they do?
Sure. Really, either one of those, Sean. They can call and say they're calling about a potential hernia mesh case. They'll be transferred to me. They can call and ask for me. And at that point, I would just find out from them where they had their surgeries. And there's no cost for us to request the records and take a look and
Good
then
deal.
See where we can go from there.
All right. Well, Amanda Summerlin, that's who you're going to talk to. I got the education about mesh and mass torts, and you can get her on your side, like all the attorneys at Taylor Martino. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean.
You can reach Taylor Martino Law Firm online, taylormartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.